Thank you. Good evening. This is the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee meeting for August 16th, 2016. I'm going to ask our Secretary, R. Paul Martin, to please call the roll.
Okay. Sam Agarwal. Present. Nick Arena.
Here.
Fred Blair.
Here.
Adriana Kasanov.
Here.
Joseph Davis.
Here.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman. Michael Novick.
Present.
Serene Roberts. Barbara Whipperman.
Here.
Okay, that's nine. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And now that everyone has weighed in on roll call, please mute your phones if you're not speaking. We will move on to agenda approval. I sent out a revised proposed agenda earlier today. May I have a motion to approve it?
So moved.
Does anyone wish to propose any changes to the agenda? Hearing no changes, is there any objection to the agenda?
Maybe we should read it for the stream.
You know, normally I would do that as a courtesy. Normally, I would do that as a courtesy, R. Paul, but it's stretched to 4 pages long now.
How about reading the agenda items and nothing else? I will point out, by the way, that we do have under three. I'll make in the minutes. I'll make G F because you skipped F in the stuff under the budget. That will also, if you read it, give us a chance to make sure that we have it, because if you intersperse all those motions, it can make it so people miss things. So
it looks like you have two number sevens.
Okay.
Oh yeah,
that
too.
Okay. Let's not get into back and forth. Say your name if you want to be called on. The only person
who's
Adriana. Adriana, let
Fred.
Me call on you. Adriana, you have an amendment to the agenda?
No, just a point of information, because I remember what
What is your question?
I'm trying to express. I remember when we, in the last meeting, I asked about, and you said that would be only an hour, but I see now that this is 2 hours meeting, right? That is what the agenda said.
The agenda has an adjournment time of 7:30 Pacific.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. Fred.
Actually, I can't find my agenda. The message you sent out this morning doesn't contain the agenda.
p.m. email.
I'm still having problems finding it. When you see 142 email, is it on the our Google website? Hello.
The Yahoo Group.
It's the Yahoo Group's website.
Okay, thank you. I'll get on there.
Well, here I'll just forward you a separate copy so it's at the top of your stack. That my email has not memorized your address. Do you mind seeing your email address on the stream? If you do,
I don't mind.
Okay.
Tony on the call.
What's your address, Fred?
I just sent it to him.
Okay, thanks for doing that, Serene. Okay, any amendments to the agenda?
Outside of the little small correction of making GF and making the numbers right, I guess not. Although I still think you should read the whole thing, but that's just me.
Oh, I've got some duplication on the numbers. Okay. We'll take those as Scrivener's errors. And hearing no amendments, is there any objection to the agenda? Hearing none, we're on to minutes approval. These would be the minutes of July 19th, 2016, public session. Do I have a motion to adopt them?
I have a...
Novick moves approval of the minutes. Does anyone wish to propose a change to the minutes?
I do.
Barbara?
It's a correction, and it's on, let's see, page 4, I think, at this point, of description of a motion by me. The KPFA treasurer said she was going to make a personal no-interest loan of $2,000 to Pacifica, and what is written there is for the audit. It was not at all for the audit. It was for a Pacifica fundraising letter to be mailed.
Barbara, we need the specific language you are proposing to strike and what you are proposing to replace.
I'm proposing to strike.
You can make argument after the fact.
I'm proposing to strike for the audit. And replace that with what I did say in the meeting, for a Pacifica fundraising letter to be mailed.
Are Paul, were your fingers keeping up with that?
Okay.
I'm not hearing anything. Am I still on the call? This is Joseph Davis. Hello?
Oh.
Joseph, you are still on the call. Check your phone. Are Paul?
Hang up.
Yeah, I have the amendment is to strike for the audit and substitute for Pacifica fundraising letter to be mailed.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Is there any objection to that change to the minutes? Hearing none, that amendment is now incorporated into the minutes. Are there any further changes to the minutes? Hearing none, is there any objection to the minutes of July 19th, 2016?
I'm sorry, I'd like my abstention to be on record, Robert.
R. Paul, call the roll in the minutes, please.
Somebody dropped off the call. It may have been R. Paul.
Oh, no. Just hit the wrong button. One second. Okay. The motion is to approve the July 19th minute. Sam Agarwal.
Yeah.
Update. Nick Arena.
Yes.
Fred Blair.
Yes.
Adriana Kasanov. Joseph Davis.
Abstain.
Brian Edwards Tiekert.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. Yes. Tony Norman.
Yes.
Michael Novick.
Yes. As amended.
Yes. Serene Roberts.
Abstain.
Barbara Wipperman.
Yes.
Okay. Going back. Adriana Kasanov. All right. It's 8-4-0 against 2 abstentions.
The minutes of July 19th are now approved, and we are on to budget deliberations. First up, we have the preliminary review of the National Office budget, which we have allotted 20 minutes for. Sam, do you want to start by orienting us?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Brian, and good evening, everybody. So let me briefly describe some of the assumptions that I have made. I had sent the budget this morning. So, briefly, I don't have any good benchmarks because what I noticed that fiscal year 15 and fiscal year 16, we have not received the central services to the tune of about $300,000 each. So the actual expenditures for both the years don't reflect the real trend line. So what I've done, basically, I've made some assumptions on the basis of the payments that we are currently making. Because we are short in cash, so these are the absolute payments that have to be made. And I have kept the central services as such, which we have been collecting for the year. So so based on that, there are certain other kind of exceptions that or assumptions that I have made. one important assumption was that I have budgeted for the audit fee for 2 years. That is for fiscal year 15 and fiscal year 16, on the assumption that both the audits will be completed during the fiscal year 17. So you will find that the $200,000 has been budgeted for that particular event. Now, in the past, I have seen that democracy, I'm moving to the next point. In the past, I've seen that Democracy Now! Has been budgeted, but this year I have not budgeted because we have not been making any payments. There's an outstanding amount of about $2.3 million, but unless until a settlement is reached, I don't know what the current payment should be and what the budget should look like. Just to give a perspective, we had been paying about $50,000 every month in the past years. Now, moving to the next point about the national election expenses, I saw that an email was sent out by the national election supervisor, and she mentioned roughly about $100,000 to be the cost for the elections, besides the local station board election expenses. And if that were true, then there will be a substantial amount that will remain unpaid in the current fiscal year 16. And then I will be also substantially under-budgeted for fiscal year 17. Next point, the upgrade for the Great Plains that was approved in the budget for the last year, but that did not happen in the current year, in the fiscal year 16. So I have rolled this over to fiscal year 17. The next point, I have not budgeted the salary for the executive director, although I should be budgeting for at least half a year. But as you would see that I ran out of money, there's no money left to account for this expense. There's a small mistake I noticed, say, after when I was doing the final review. I have not budgeted for tax services, which will be due for the next two cycles, fiscal year 15 and fiscal year 16. And that will be about $25,000 to $30,000. So having roughly, if I account for all these, I'm looking at a deficit of about $150,000 to $200,000, and that is why I said that, say, let me submit a tentative budget at this time just to get an idea and just to get a perspective on the formula for the central services, because that is the key component. Now, I don't have to really remind that say, we have not received that. There's a substantial amount outstanding, so definitely that is reflecting in the cash flow. The second point that I would quickly mention, and Brian brought this in the email, that our cash flow statement will be substantially different than the budget cash flow or the cash that is kind of going in and out because of the budget reasons. The primary reason is that, say, we have substantial other debts that have to be paid, and that for that we also need the money to pay for those. So that will be a fairly involved process, and I'm working on that and how to kind of bridge the gap or where to find the resources. So that I will submit along with my final budget. So I think that would be a kind of a brief comment I would like to make for the National Office budget, and let me turn it over to Brian at this time.
Okay, we'll open up the stack for questions on the National Office budget.
I have one.
I heard Barbara. Who else? Okay, I'll put myself on after Barbara, then we'll reopen the stack. Go ahead, Barbara.
Michael.
Gotcha, Michael. Go ahead, Barbara.
I was writing as fast as I could, Sam. Thank you. But could you repeat again the total amount you said you're under budgeted by? How much?
Roughly, I'm seeing about, I will review each line item. I think I have a good understanding about, like, say, I have covered probably everything,
mm-hmm.
but I will definitely review once again. and especially when I will be doing the cash flow, because if any expenses have to be flown through the budget charged as operating expenses, then that should go through the budget line item. But roughly, I'm anticipating between $150,000 to $200,000 if I include the executive director's salary and the tax services that I have forgotten to include this, and the national election expenses. Basically, everything should roughly amount to about $200,000 or so.
Thank you.
Sam, first question is line item 6702. Free Speech Radio News.
Okay.
It's row 123 in the spreadsheet.
Right, right.
My understanding is that we are paying off debt to Free Speech Radio News as part of a settlement agreement.
Yeah,
is that what this is?
Yeah, that is right.
Shouldn't it be a balance sheet item rather than an operating expense?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Actually, what is happening is that, say, I have not seen so far that an accrual has been made.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we take a hit in 1 year, accrue the whole amount, and then, make a payment through the balance sheet, or we kind of charge the income statement every month, like what we are doing. And that is the reason why you're seeing in the budget.
So my understanding is that we're paying off expenses that were accrued in previous years that we didn't pay.
No, not really. Actually, I have not seen this accrual. If I would see this accrual, then I would reverse these charges and charge it off to the accrual.
So what's the last year that you have an accrual for Free Speech Radio News in?
Because last year's books are not complete, like fiscal year 2015 books are not complete. So at this time, it's very difficult for me to say whether this should be accrued or not and what amount. So when I will review the final balance sheet
Oh, no, I think our last accrual with Free Speech Radio News would have been in 2013.
2013. Okay.
Yeah.
If that may be the case, then...
And then they sued over non-payment in 2014.
Yeah, so we are trying to put together all the paperwork at this time, see what the amount outstanding is and what the settlement agreement is. And if it's an incorrect treatment, that it should not flow through the income statement, and if it should flow through the accrual, then we will reverse those charges. But this is how we have been... have been generating our income statement as well.
Okay. I'll ask the rest of my questions later. I followed up enough. Go ahead, Michael.
The original idea of looking at the national office budget was to try to ascertain what the level of anticipated income was, what the necessary expenses were going to be, and then we could figure out from that what we wanted to raise from central services, although that's obviously been quite iffy this year. So I'm wondering about some of the income figures that you have on this one. For example, mail, where is that? The line 12, mail fund drive. You're only showing $50,000. Projected for this year, although most of the previous years on here, some of them were less, but many of them were quite a bit more than that. 2015 actuals, you have 117,000. I'm wondering why you're anticipating such a low income from that, for example, or...
I think if I remember that right, I'm looking at the numbers in 2016. We did not have anything, almost. We had the mail drive about $4,000. So I would be over-optimistic, actually, even budgeting $50,000.
Okay, and then so the SCA income is also a little low, maybe it's about the same.
SCA income, we are collecting 23,000 even every month.
Okay.
And I think that's right on the target.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And then the affiliates income also showing less than... that's my basic question. I guess I think it's sort of conservative on the income, or maybe not compared to this year. So you know, we don't have 2016 on here. We have the...
Well, actually, if I compare this with the 2016, probably I will say that I'm too optimistic.
Okay. All right. So then the question of the salaries, you're saying the gross salaries here don't reflect an executive director position at all. And so if we cover that, it would increase the gross salaries.
Yeah, that is right. If you go back to 2014, I see that the salary amount was a lot more.
Right.
And that's very strange because, yeah, I see that the salary were about 885,000 as compared to 718 that I have budgeted. So that tells me that there were full-time positions there fully occupied.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be a good comparison benchmark.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Indiana?
Fax back open.
This is Nick Arena.
Okay, I heard Adriana. I heard Nick. I want to remind everyone you can wait till I'm done talking to say your name. We'll make room for everyone. Who else wants to be on stack? All right, go ahead, Adriana.
Yes. First of all, Sam, it's not clear for me your column AH, because you say actual FY 2015, 12 periods. You are talking about fiscal year 2015 actuals, right? That is what that column means?
That's right.
Okay. Like I said, for comparison, it's difficult to compare when we don't have, I hope that when we really, it's okay, I understand why you did it, because you want the formula for the stations to work with the central service, but it's very difficult to compare when we don't take into consideration 2016. But even the budget, then we can compare what was budgeted, even if you don't have finished the period. I mean, we can compare, two consecutive years. Do you have the gross salary, for example, for 2016?
Like I said, that this will not be a meaningful comparison because positions were not filled in. And the other thing is that the cash is not there. So basically, if we compare the budget amount with the dollars that we paid out, there will be a substantial hole, and that will not be a meaningful way to compare.
Okay, Nick, you're up next.
Sam, thanks for this. My question is the line 65-60 regarding interest expense, and I'm wondering if this includes an estimate on the proposed bank loan or if this includes some other type of debt.
I don't see anything on line 65. Are you talking about...
So line 86, but the GL code is 6560.
I see. So what is happening is that we are paying about the bank analysis fee. Sorry, there are a couple of things included here. I think we are paying interest expenses on the credit card, outstanding balance that we have. And some maybe on the bank fee. But bank charges, I think, yeah, bank charges are billed separately. So this is the credit card interest, interest that's what you're paying.
I see. So if there was a bank loan, then there would be additional interest expense.
That's right.
Okay.
Adriana, to your question, our spending on salaries and related at the national office over the last 12 months is $630,000. That's lifted off the last income statement you saw. The 12 months ending in June. Stack's back open. Anybody with questions?
Question?
I've got our Paul. Who else? Okay, I'll put myself after our Paul. Go ahead, our Paul.
Okay, based on what Sam said a few minutes ago, you're saying, going back here in the notes, you're saying that for 2014, there was an executive director salary that was a certain size, and what was that? What was that size for 2014, rather?
Actually, I'm comparing. Like I said, that's it. There's no easy comparison for fiscal year 15 and fiscal year 16. So I'm going back to compare at a broader level, and I find that in fiscal year 14, the total gross salaries were about $885,000. As compared to that, I am budgeting about 700,000, I think 715. So there's still a lot of margin, and one of the reasons could be that there would have been a full-time executive director in fiscal year 14.
As I recall, that wasn't the case. I think there was a full-time executive director for half of FY14. So I'm just saying that I don't think there was a full time. Things happened at some point, and I don't think we had a full time executive director being paid after that. So I think that needs to be in the calculations. And you know, maybe there's some other, maybe if there's additional and it looks larger, maybe you need to look at some other staffing issue in there.
Michael, does that
okay? Oh, Michael, why don't you go ahead and meet that?
Well, this question about the board election expenses. I didn't quite understand what Sam said, but we don't have an election in 2017, right? That would be an off year. We had 15 and 16, right, elections. So is this just paying off, is money that's down there paying off the previous election, or were you anticipating another election, Sam?
Yeah, so I have not, I'm not very clear, like I said, and if the total expenditures for the year 2016, they come to roughly 100,000, what the National Election Supervisor has said, then we still have to make about $60,000 left over. And so my budget for 2017 is exactly 60,000, and that should cover the leftover expenses. So technically, I'm not budgeting anything for 2017 then.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Hello?
So, Sam, on that question, can you tell what the difference is between the board election expense line? Oh, I get it. One's just the summary line. Okay.
Yeah.
So my question is a big picture question. If you think that there are roughly 30,000 in tax service expenses that are not yet budgeted, and an executive director salary has to be budgeted. And the central services that are here are already basically a convenient fiction as far as a couple of the stations are concerned. What is your proposal about how to pay for those activities? Do you think we should start cutting from this proposed set of expenses, that we should seek financing?
First of all, I mean, I can talk in general terms, and that's a very good question. But I definitely would recommend that we schedule a closed session meeting. Then I will be able to expand into much details, because right now this exercise seems to be so much divorced from reality. I am having a tough time at the national office to pay the bills, and I wish I could get into more details on that. And I will be providing a little bit more update to the board very soon. But having said that, I think that we have reached a critical point where we have to explore, we must explore some options that we can reasonably undertake at this time. To just give a very simple example, that at least for the PRA, we should look for external sources where they don't have to be dependent on the central services. It's a small dollar amount for any station, but even a drop in a bucket would be very helpful. So that would be one example that I can give right away that can make a difference. But there are multiple things that I would like to discuss that I think I would be able to do that in the closed session only.
Hey, Diana.
Okay, I've got Adriana. We've got 4 more minutes before we hit time on this item. Go ahead, Adriana.
Okay, I'm trying to speak. I'm on mute, but nobody can hear me. I was trying to talk before. Thank you, Zerin. I couldn't finish my question, and I have two, your lines, 73 and 75, Sam. About 73 is consultant temporary. You said that in 2015 we got $22,000. Now you are scheduling there $60,000. And in line 75, I'm sorry, we have nothing. And now we have 12,000. Can you explain those differences?
Yeah. So let me explain the consultants because we have such a big backlog. Right now we are completing we have just completed the 2014, and now we are completing 2015. There's a lot of activity that was left over, that was filing of the income tax return, the form 990 we just completed just a few days back, and now this person is say full-time busy completing the books for fiscal year 2015 and coordinating with the other stations. I don't see that this activity is going to go away at least until the end of this year, because this person will get busy with the audit when the audit will start. And he will be definitely busy full-time, if not overtime. So that is pretty much justified, and that without which, I mean, we will not be able to remove the backlog. Right now, we are already late with respect to completing the current books of accounts, because like we have seen that we produce only half the statement. We do the income statement, we don't do the balance sheet. And we have seen that, say, that is a critical requirement. We are getting stuck at both the accounts. The insurance company needs our balance sheet. Then I applied for the mortgage on the National Office.
I'm sorry, building. Sam, hold on a second. If you are not Sam, can you please mute your phone? Someone is making a horrible noise. Please mute your phones if you are not Sam. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah. So I was talking about half the accounting being done.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you, Joseph. Please stay muted while Sam is talking. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, we don't produce a balance sheet. So gradually I'm building the foundation, the process that a monthly reconciliation should be done, and all the balance sheet elements should be put together in place so that we can start producing the balance sheet, but we are not there. So we are behind both in terms of the current accounting and the backlog that we have for fiscal year 15. So I don't see how we can really accomplish anything if we don't use the help of a consultant. So that is the reason for the rationale for my budgeting there. The consultant, like I think you mentioned about the consultant for the website, or I don't remember which line item you had referred to. I think it was
point of personal privilege.
What is your point of personal privilege, Serene?
He's fading as he goes. I can barely hear him now.
He sounds fine to me. You might want to check your phone setup. Go ahead, Sam.
Phone hasn't changed.
Yeah, so I think what Adriana was referring to was line 74, and I think that was the amount of payment that we make to, I'm forgetting the name of the consulting company. It's also an old contract. Broadcast engineering, I think, that we had been paying, we had become a delinquent in payment, and that then there was a contract that was entered, and now we are paying $1,300 a month. That is the charge.
Wait, so that's another situation where it's another situation where it might be a previous year's accrual, Sam?
I have not been finding the accruals, actually, because the reason could be that these settlements were entered a little bit later and they either did not get accrued or there's something missing, because I looked at the previous year's numbers also and looked at the income statement, and they are appearing as income and expenditure item. So if there was a mistake, then say this mistake has been happening for last maybe 2 years.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Adriana. We're also at time on this agenda item, so if the committee wishes to continue discussing the National Office budget, we'll need a motion to extend.
I move to extend 5 minutes.
The motion is for a 5-minute extension. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we're extended till 4:15. Go ahead, Adriana.
Well, you know, I keep saying, I keep looking at actuals FY 2015, and in line 15, I don't know how can you be $24,590 deficit in major donor. We pay major donors. I don't understand that number there.
Actually, some line items I can say that they are not.
Hold on a second, Sam. Hold on. If you are not Sam, please mute your phone. We're picking up an echo from someone else's line. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, I will point out some instances that the line items for the actuals and the budgets, they are not matching exactly. I'm trying to find an item here. If you look at the programming expenses, you will see that programming services for the fiscal year 15 showed 60,938, but I'm budgeting only 12,000 under this line item. In the line item 120, the 68,652 was the actual expenditure. I'm budgeting 108,000. So basically, if you combine both the lines, you will get the exact amount.
I'm sorry, Sam, but I'm talking about revenue.
This is the example that I'm giving, that in the revenue also, if certain line items are not matching, you will find that at at a very similar pace.
Hold on. Adriane, it's your phone that's producing the echo. You need to mute when he's talking. It's very distracting to hear your voice come back at you. Okay, go ahead.
Me? Okay. I'm not talking about different in lines, Sam. I'm talking about income, about revenue. How could that be that the revenue is negative?
Revenue is negative? Which line are you talking about?
Row 15. For the actual FY 2015.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, I had noted that, and I will say when I will look at the fiscal year 2015 books, then I will look at that.
Okay. Anyone else to stack with questions on the national office budget? All right, Sam. Before the committee can act on this, we'll need the supporting tabs from the budget, both the cash flow, as I mentioned in that email, the staffing roster, so we can get a sense of what type of staff structure this represents, and it might be helpful to have a note attached. If there are payments in this budget that are actually previous year's expenses, like Free Speech Radio News, at a minimum, there should be a clarifying note attached so that we're not mistaking them as cost increases at the national office. Do you follow me?
Yeah, I do. Actually, there are three or four line items here which are past year's expenses. So I will put kind of in a different font or something, and I will put together a legend so that it can clearly stand out.
And I would check your previous year's accruals.
Sure, I would. But that is the difficulty that I'm having, actually, because of not having the current 2015 balance sheet.
Mm-hmm. We are 20 seconds short of time on your extension, Adriana. If it's quick, go ahead.
Yes, I you mentioned that we need some other information, some other tabs, but we need two, the 2016, because comparing with something that say 2015 and we don't know even if the numbers make any sense. You know, if we need to talk about budget, we need the 2016 spread like is 2017, like we always do every year. Okay?
Yeah, you know what? If you don't want to do a 2016 projection, Sam, you can also just do prior 12 months. Just list them right off the income statements.
You mean the prior 12 months, basically until June?
Yeah, the trailing 12 months.
Trailing 12 months? Okay. Yeah, we can do that. But still, I will caution that still that will not be a meaningful comparison because here I am projecting for the full year with full load, like with full employment of the people. There in the trailing 12 months, it will not be apples to apples.
Sure, but it also won't be a missing year.
Right.
I had questions on smaller items. I'll email them to you for the sake of the committee's time. But the bottom line here is the central services, if everybody were paying at the rate they're currently accruing, would barely be enough to break even, and there's expenses that aren't budgeted for yet. Is that the takeaway here?
That is very right. Actually, we are falling short by about $150,000 or so.
Okay, let me ask one more question, Sam, before we move on. Are there other debt payments that the net cash payments that the national office is currently making that are not reflected in this budget? That would only be reflected in the cash flow?
It'll be big ticket items, I suppose, because it'll be democracy now. We have a substantial amount outstanding.
No, but we don't have a payment plan with them yet. I mean, you know.
Yes.
Settlement-based payment plans that we're currently paying, are they all in this budget document, or will some of them be separately as in the cash flow document?
Yeah, mostly they are flowing through, like you pointed out, the free speech radio network, the broadcast engineering, and those, and there is legal expenses. Actually, legal expenses also include the previous settlements, and they are also included as expenditure line item. So I don't see anything much outside this budget template. I would be very surprised. But again, until I reconcile with the accruals, with the 2015 balance sheet, it will be very difficult for me to say yes or no.
Okay. But, I mean, you know that whatever the amount is, you're paying out like $24,000 a month on these settlement agreements of past old debts?
I think it will be roughly probably $15,000 to $20,000.
Okay, and all those, I'm just trying to clarify, all those are incorporated into this budget as operating expenses this year?
Right.
Okay. All right, so all we have to worry about is the unbudgeted expenses. Moving on, we're now on item 3B on our agenda, which is National Office Central Services Funding Formula. This is an item Michael had requested. By way of prefacing it, we adjusted the formula 2 years ago. For many years leading up to 2 years ago, the central services were a percentage of each month's listener support as it came in. The problem is that as the bookkeeping became more and more erratic at the stations, it became harder to accurately bill them based on each month's central listener support. So we switched to dividing up the pie according to an average of prior years' listener support. I sent you all a copy of a spreadsheet showing what the rolling five-year average is for listener support. You can use that spreadsheet to take it down to just the audited years, getting a four-year average, or anything else the committee wishes. I'll open it up to Michael, since you initiated this.
Well, I'm not sure what to do with it at this point, given the previous discussion. I guess I wanted to point out that KPFK's current obligations, are outsized compared to its current listener support. And also that one of the things that happened when we did change the formula is we eliminated the, I think it was a percent or a percent and a half break that KPFK got for housing the archives. So KPFK has been paying, or, the most of any of the five stations for central services for both the national office and the PRA. And, I was wondering about some kind of adjustment, but I feel like we can't really adjust it until we have a clear idea of what the budgetary needs are, so I'm not sure really if we can have this discussion now, given the state of the preliminary budget for National.
Well, we do have the problem that the monthly installments have been fixed for the past 2 years based on an old average, so that for stations that have been seeing a decline in listener support, their payment has not been dropping commensurate with their ability to pay.
I mean, that's the problem I'm talking about.
So we could apply those percentages to an updated average. That brings out 1.325 million. The other thing we could do is we had applied a discounted rate to WBAI, because we were worried about sticker shock. It had previously been paying much less in central services. Our discussion 2 years ago was about increasing that gradually with each budgeting cycle, which we obviously didn't do last year. But we could up their contribution. Again, there it's kind of like a convenient fiction.
Yeah.
Good point. So the National Office budget counts on 1.386 in central services. And if we applied the same percentages to a five-year average today, that would drop by $60,000 overall. Of course, we do have the problem that some stations miscategorize income as central service. Income as listener support. Until the audit comes around and they get separated out.
Question.
So maybe if we took the unaudited 2015 numbers out, we get something different.
Someone had a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike. Sure, I should open up the stack. I'm sorry, I'm just mumbling here. I've got Michael, R. Paul. Who else?
Nick.
No, I have nothing further at this point.
Okay, go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. You said that you put out something else from the national office today, and could you tell me what the file name for that is?
I shared a link to a Google Docs spreadsheet.
Oh, okay, so we'll not see a... Okay, so it's not going to be a... all right, I think I see it. And they let me in. Okay, so...
And so everyone can follow along if we're tweaking the numbers as we talk.
Okay, I got it. Thank you.
Nick.
Thanks for putting this together, Michael. I guess my question is that the formula based on income obviously is a reasonable percentage to use. The challenge is that I see is that for stations like CFW and BAI, the numbers that are actually, and perhaps others, but the numbers that are actually being paid versus percentage of income may be quite a bit different. And I wonder if there's any consideration around adjusting these numbers for the actual amount of payment that's been received versus the aspirational percentages that the calculations are being made against.
Yeah, well, I think, there's two different questions, kind of. What is each station's obligation and what is each station's ability to pay? And, the budget should show equal obligation and our cash forecast should reflect ability to pay. Which is kind of how we've been operating. But, I mean, if you're proposing that a station that hasn't been able to pay its central services at all should be told, okay, in the upcoming budget year, you won't have to pay any central services. That seems like a pretty messed up incentive structure.
Yeah. No.
There's four other stations saying, great, we won't pay this year so we can get next year's off.
Yeah. No, I'm not actually suggesting that, but the challenge that this group faces and that the budget faces is that there's a disconnect between the accrued statements and the cash flow. And there's, I think, going to be a continuation of a disconnect between these percentages and what actually is going to be paid. And I don't know when a certain amount of reality is set in on the numbers, because these numbers are not being achieved and don't appear that there's an ability to have them be achieved, so that there needs to be some other plan about how to actually plan for cash flow based on this. It's not people shirking responsibilities. How do you plan for what is not happening?
Anyone else to stack on central services?
Michael Beck, actually.
Go ahead, Michael.
I think one possibility would be to maybe take a look at the 5 years and throw out the highest and the lowest, and then look at an average, you know, without those two. The other thing I realized, the other reason I had raised this originally was to make a case again for incorporating the central services into the station's operating expenses. Because I think there's a, because it is internal payments, we put it after the bottom line. I think a lot of the stations, that's an invitation for the stations to ignore it in different ways. So I'm wondering if there's some way to change our bookkeeping so that even though they are internal payments, they are reflected as income for the national office and expenses for the stations. So the stations are clear what their operating budget actually is that includes central service payments they're supposed to be making.
Okay, well, maybe we'll bracket that as a separate question from how much they should be charged, which is our topic today. I've got Arpal on stack. Who else? Go ahead, Arpal.
Yeah, the one of the things we need to keep in mind, one of the things we need to keep in mind about central services and listener support and all of that is the unfortunate tendency we've seen over some years, at least at some stations, to lump all revenue into listener support, which is what the levy is done against. And this has, in a number of cases, made it look as if some stations' listener support is significantly higher than it actually is. And so that skews these things and makes it harder to figure out what it should be. This goes back to what the CFO has been complaining about in terms of getting accurate information, because just getting a lump sum is some information, but you really need things broken out so that you can make a good decision. And this is another example of we can't make a really great decision on some things because the granularity of what we're seeing is not adequate. I think it's also instructive to look going from 2011 to 2014. The total listener support listed goes from 11 to 10 to 9 to 8. There's a sequence there. So I think that in terms of many other things, we need to look at that and especially consider the fact that what I was talking about before, the lumping in of everything into listener support and how that can affect what we're talking about right here.
Paul, on that point, I am under the impression, and I know you're talking about WBAI, or at least I'm aware of that problem at WBAI. I am under the impression that income gets recategorized properly by the time we have audited statements. Are you under the same impression?
No, I'm not under that impression at all. I don't know
okay.
that we are, because I see it ahead of time, and I'm not sure that it is getting that way. I'm not sure.
Hold on. Let's get Sam to clarify. Sam, is the listener support income at WBAI being disaggregated when you all do the audit reconciliations?
I don't think so, actually, because the major income categories are the same, like listener support, the grant income, or the donation income for major donors, and so on. So unless until there is some kind of a very major mistake or something, it remains as such.
So the thing that Arpal is referring to is that we often get income statements that record no income on any line other than listener support. That would mean event income, major donor income, it's all getting classified as listener support. And if you look at the five-year history in that spreadsheet, it shows an increase from the 2014 audit to the 2015 preliminary of $300,000, which I suspect is not an increase in listener support at WBAI. It's just that other things were categorized as listener support, or are categorized as listener support in 2015. Are you saying that's not getting cleaned up before we get to audit?
Unfortunately, it doesn't get cleaned up unless until it's a major kind of a misclassification. And so there could be other sources of income that are not properly reflected.
So Paul, the only alternative would be to calculate the levy as a percentage of total revenues instead of just listener support. And then it would eliminate distortionary effects from miscategorization.
Barbara, for a comment.
Or Paul on that one, too.
And Michael.
Well, let's get our Paul's response, then we'll go to Barbara, then Michael. Go ahead, our Paul.
Yes. As I was saying, I think that it is not getting changed. And going to the basic idea of the listener support was, well, it's changed over the decades, but the major idea of the listener of making a levy on the listener support is that it's about what the radio station raises over the air, because that's what we're supposed to be about. If we change that, I mean, I've heard people talking about various other ideas for raising income. If we change that, I suppose we could get into doing it to total revenue, but you also then start putting disincentives on people going out and doing events, say, and they say, okay, here's this event we'll do. Oh, 19.5% of that is out the window instantly. You know, it's sort of the way people view taxing various things they would do. This is going to have an effect a lot like a tax on people. And major donors are not in the levy at this time, and major donors find out, oh, so I'm giving X station this, and it's really 19.5% of that's going to Pacifica. That could, you know, that would have to be revealed, and that could also have an effect. And so I think that would be a major, major change to just go to looking at revenue. And, you know, so I think the major thing here is we need to find out, we need to disambiguate this stuff. We need to break things out instead of lumping it all in, and that's where we need to try and concentrate. And otherwise, we're kind of stuck here. Anyway, I don't think going to revenue without a hell of a lot of thought and making that the levy would be good. I think that requires a lot of discussion.
Okay. I want to note to everybody, I had a few errors in the 2014 audited column on that spreadsheet, which I've just corrected. If you're looking at it on the computer, it should have refreshed by now. Barbara, you're next.
Well, we're mixing up two things here, as I see it, and that is the idea of using all of everybody's revenue to determine how we assess whatever each station is putting into central services. If we were all using all of the revenue, then the percentage could go down, really. It wouldn't be so high. But the reason, as I understand it, for separating out what's considered listener support, the key word that's used, I believe, when there's talk of this, is it's things that we're soliciting. In other words, stuff we're asking for over the air. And the reason we have that category of income, when we had CPB money, it was based on solicited funds we raised by fund drives. And that's the basis of what our awards for CPB money would be. And that's why we have that line item in our budgets, in our accounting system.
Okay.
So
I've got Mike. I've Sorry, were you done, Barbara?
Well, almost, just to summarize. So I can see if we recognize that we're handling these two things in a different way. One is the internal need to decide how to assess central services, and for that we would, I can see the possibility of using all of the revenue, but and then I would think this percentages would go down. Certainly not like what they used to be. I don't know what percentages they are now that we've done this rolling year thing. But we'd still, if we want to participate in gaining CPB money, we'd still have to have some breakout of what's raised by solicitation.
Brian and everybody, I'm on the call. This is Maria with KPFA.
Thanks. That's KPFA business manager who is joining us for the KPFA business discussion, which was supposed to start about 6 minutes ago. We are at time on the central services discussion.
I was listening. If you don't mind, I'd be happy
Maria,
to give
Maria.
One. Sorry.
Please don't
Go
interrupt
ahead.
Me. And
sorry.
Don't speak up till you're called on. I have one person left on stack. That's Michael. If you all think it's possible to move towards some kind of resolution, I think it would be good to give the stations some certainty on what they're budgeting around. I would request an extension. If you all want to chew this over before our next meeting, it means we won't be able to get the national board to approve something before the stations complete their budgets, which will make things messier. I'm open to options. If anyone wants to propose an extension, speak now or hold your peace.
I propose 5 minutes.
Okay. We've got 5 minutes from Barbara. It'll take us to 44 past. Michael, you're next.
Okay. I think as far as the station budgeting, we should probably just go with the existing formula. I think we need to rethink how we handle those expenses. I think Sam did forward earlier this year kind of a breakdown of what the central services money goes for. And I think that if we actually had the national office bill the stations for the services and incorporate them as expense items, we'd be doing better. I think that what's missing from the spreadsheet that you put out, Brian, is unaudited 2015 and year-to-date 2016. And I think that would show a continuing drop-off in the actual listen support of most of our stations, which is really what's fueling this problem.
Yeah, unaudited 2015 is in there.
Not the one I looked at. Anyway, if you look at WBI, for example, their listen support is about half in the last column that I saw. So, and they didn't make the central service payments even at 8% of that. So, I think the fundamental problem is on the actual revenue side of each of the stations. Which I think is the problem we have to solve.
Point of order.
So anyway, that was a motion to propose that the station budgeting be based on continuing the current central service payments for the initial budget plan.
Okay, I heard a very faint point of order.
Point of order. Barbara made a motion to extend for 5 minutes. We did not approve that.
Sorry. Was there any objection to extending for 5 minutes? Hearing none, I believe I noted that extension took us to 44.
Okay, and could I get Michael to restate his motion slowly?
Michael, I'm putting your intention into the language that the last central services motion was. Would you like me to read it out
okay.
and tell me whether it meets your intent?
Sure,
I agree as follows. To meet the budgeted expenses of the national office not covered by other sources of income in fiscal year 2017, the central services shall be a fixed monthly cost set at 15% of the prior 5 years, 2011 through 2015, average annual listener support for WBAI Central Services shall be set at 8% of that average.
Are you sending this?
I'm sending it, but I'm making sure it's what Michael intended. Because
right.
It's his motion.
Yes, that is what I intended. That's fine.
Okay. I've just sent it. We'll go to discussion on that motion.
Barbara.
Or Paul.
I've got Barb. I've got our Paul. We've got 2 minutes. That should do it. Go ahead, Barb.
I want to go back to something Michael mentioned earlier of the idea of having 5 years but then throwing out the highest and the lowest. It seemed like that was not a bad idea for dealing with some things that different stations are trying to deal with, mm-hmm. about changing listener support levels. Did anybody want to consider that?